Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I know everyone is going to think this is fake, but trust me when I say this is an actual situation I'm going through. So, for explanation, I have been collecting Funko Pops since way before I even met my wife. Buying Funko Pops started off as just a small interest, but quickly became a passion of mine. I bought my first Funko Pop 6 years ago, and since then, I've stocked up thousands of these figures. So, now about my relationship with my wife. 2 years ago, I met my soon-to-be wife. From the very beginning of the relationship, she was well aware of my Funko Pop collection and was well aware that at the time I was spending a few $100 monthly in order to keep expanding my collection. She was perfectly fine with this, by the way. In fact, she would buy me Funko Pops for my birthday and Christmas. However, a week ago, we got in a huge fight over my spending on Funko Pops. I will admit, these past few months, I've been dropping about $500 monthly on Funko figures, but in my opinion, it was not financially tanking, considering me and my wife have pretty decent jobs. I don't want to state what those jobs are for privacy reasons. Anyways, she was telling me I needed to stop the Funko Pop collecting for a long time, or at least cut down on Funko spending to 3 Funko Pops per month. In my opinion, that is so ridiculous, considering how limited I would have to be in my choice of Funko Pops. I tried to explain to her how much I enjoyed collecting these figures and how much it means to me. She then started yelling at me that we were going to go into debt because of the amount of money I was spending on Funko Pops. I stated to her how she was completely overreacting and there is no way we could possibly go into debt from this. After some more screaming, she locked herself in our room and I had to sleep on the couch that night. I really did not feel bad at all because I knew she was overreacting. When I woke up in the morning, she told me she was going to go stay at her sister's house until we could sort things out. I honestly just couldn't believe she was going so far with this. I tried my best to convince her to stay, but she kept saying that I needed to stop collecting Funkos for a long time. This isn't an option for me because, again, she's completely overreacting and it is in no way affecting us financially. A few days go by and I get a call from her. She tells me I need to choose, either stop the Funko Pop collecting or we're getting a divorce. I started telling her how ridiculous she was being because she obviously is being ridiculous. After 2 years, she was willing to throw away our marriage over my passion. She was pretty much sobbing at this point. I finally just told her that I'm not going to let her get in the way of my passion. Still haven't gotten the divorce papers, but I'm expecting them soon.
This is Same Day Shipping, the show where we geek out about real love and fake relationships.
I'm Colin.
I'm Kelly.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Patrick.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Okay.
It got dark at the end.
That's so dark. It's really dark.
Oh my God. And so, Patrick, for context, this is an Am I the Asshole?
This is an Am I the Asshole, yes.
This is not you this telling not us me. About your secret wife and your secret Funko Pop collection.
That's right.
Yeah, the
which
fact
would
that
be crazy
like...
because you've come out on record as not yes. being into Funkos.
Yeah, pretending well, for years to hate Funkos. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Lady Doth protests too much.
That's a stance I will maintain in this conversation as well.
As will I.
I mean, oh, God. But replace it with anything. It's still like $500 a month during pandemic. And when your wife tells you, like, I guess that's the part where it's like somebody is confused.
Yes.
Because if one person who in a partnership says that the $500 a month you're spending is putting us in debt, and the other person says we have lots of money, someone's factually inaccurate.
I feel like if the gentleman here were factually inaccurate, he would back it up with receipts, right? He would say,
right,
we're spending $500 a month on Funko Pops, but it's okay because after, you know, paying our mortgage and groceries, we've got this much disposable income. And like, it's, you know, like if he could bring like evidence that mm-hmm. it is not financially ruinous to them, then we can talk about it. But
yeah,
he's just like, in my opinion.
Yeah, right, that's the right, other right. thing. It's like, because we know that this man is a fastidious man, because mm. a person that like obsessively collects Funkos.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Thousands.
Is capable of cataloging.
Mm-hmm. Organization, shelf space.
Yeah. I think like he is purposely being like, we know that he is not a stranger to being detail oriented.
Right.
So like the fact that he like is being vague about why it's financially okay, I'm like, question marks.
I wonder if in his mental budget, he is treating $500 a month, which is $6,000 a year, on Funko Pops as a fixed cost.
I think so.
In his budget, it's like next to like rent, utility, yeah, food, right, phone yeah. bill.
And he yeah. did suggest that $500 in 1 month is a bit of an anomaly. So,
oh, okay. Sorry, I apologize.
But yes, I think he has got a line in his spreadsheet specifically for yes. Funko Pops. How much is
one Funko
Pop?
I'm also looking at the average cost of a Funko Pop here.
It varies on what you're getting.
So it can vary from like $9 to like, the Chucky one, for example, it's 25. Mm-hmm. So even if we're saying that all of them are 25,
mm-hmm.
I would assume he's getting like the London Comic Con limited edition one from eBay too.
Okay. Which I sold my special Comic Con Conan one for $60. So even then, though, that's still... Okay, let's say $50.
Mm-hmm.
That's still 50, at least 10 Funko Pops.
10 Funko Pops?
A month? One yeah, every 3 days?
I guess there's also, he does say thousands, right?
Yeah.
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 I mean, he's
thousands of Funko Pops that you need a house for your Funko Pops.
Yeah.
That's not like, that's not even just one collection room.
And here's the other thing, right? You don't do everything in a vacuum. He's not like just like everything else in his life yes. is non-Funko Pop related. And then like for 5 minutes, he goes on eBay and like puts in a bunch of bids and then leaves it alone. He probably talks about Funko Pops nonstop. He probably like needs time to like shop for. There's a million things that are not just money that are also contributing to this. And honestly, when he's like, oh, she didn't mind it at first. Here's what I think happened. I think she was like, oh, that's kind of cute. And then maybe she was like in honeymoon phase. And then she was talking to her friends and they were like, I'm sorry. This man has how many Funko Pops?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how much time does he spend with you?
The emotional fatigue of,
yes.
of something like this. Like, just because you're okay with something 1 year doesn't mean you have to be okay with it the next year.
You can always change your mind.
Yeah. This is awful. He sounds horrible.
Yeah, he does sound horrible.
But I want to give him the benefit of the doubt as like a passionate and occasionally obsessive person. You know, like we all have those tendencies. But clearly he's acting and sounding like a fucking addict right now. Like
he sounds like a hoarder.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. He is 100% acting. Funko Pops was his addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like his unwillingness to talk about it in a reasonable way with his wife just makes me feel like, also, I don't know if I believe all the everything he's saying.
No, not at all.
Thing. Like, I think whether it's like he's lying about how much money he makes, or he's not, like, are we going to find out they also have a sick kid? Like, I'm just like, I don't believe him. Like,
yeah,
because yes, if we were talking about a thing that was completely financially like okay, your wife probably wouldn't care, but honestly, thousands of anything, that's an obsession. That's not just a collection.
Yeah
And I also don't believe, because he kind of like makes it seem like it was like out of nowhere that she's like, you can't do this.
Yeah, but there's no way that's the case.
I guarantee you that it started with her being like, oh, you're buying more, and then him being like, yeah, I love my Funkos. And she's like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. And then it probably, I guarantee you she probably wasn't great at communicating her displeasure with it at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she was a little passive aggressive. Who knows? But I think she probably mentioned something to him before she was giving him an ultimatum. When he seems to be like, whoa, she got mad and then left and then gave me an ultimatum. I think she probably told her sister about everything that was happening in this fucking house. And the sister was like, you need to leave this man.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah,
also,
if she's
the whole thing too, is like, it's clear that he's not listening to her on a regular basis, right? Like,
no.
him being blindsided by her not liking the Funko Pops is not the first time that he has not heard her when she's clearly expressed herself.
Yes.
Damn. That's some real shit.
Honestly, I wish the best for her. I hope she finds someone else.
Sometimes it's really hard to find the words. Like, your feelings are like want to burst out of you, but it's hard to like, you know, talk it out.
Sometimes it helps if you like sing a song.
We're doing musical ships today.
That was masterful, Ryan. Mm-hmm. You'd really
very nicely done.
Hey, thanks.
And we're doing it because Hamilton's on Disney Plus now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun to watch.
Is it like a recording of a live production?
Yeah, they have the whole original cast, and they shot it, you know, they've been talking it up, but did like a ton of different cameras and angles and cut it so that it would create a real viewing experience. So it's not just like a static camera, you know, from one of the seats in the theater. They did
And it's not a mezzanine shot.
I would feel like
shot.
It's probably
no.
I would feel it's like it's probably similar to like the like Albert Hall, Royal Albert Hall versions of stuff that often get filmed. Like it'll probably look good and not like some bootleg, not like the bootleg of the 2012 Carrie revival that I watched.
Yeah, or like I don't know if you've ever, and I know Harry Potter is out of favor, but like if you ever watched the Harry Potter musical.
Oh, Cursed Child.
There's a Harry Potter musical?
Yeah, Cursed Child.
Wait,
no.
Cursed Child isn't a musical,
right? That's not
a
musical.
Oh, it's not a musical, it's a play.
Yeah, I'm talking about the one. At first I thought you were saying a nickname that you had for Darren Criss that I didn't know.
That's funny.
I thought you were calling him like Chris Child, and I was like, okay, that's what Kelly calls Darren Criss.
I forgot about the Darren Criss thing.
Yes. I think it was called Harry Potter musical or something, you know, nothing.
Seussical, the Harry Potter musical.
Harry Potter musical.
Yes, and it's like a bunch of students at University of Michigan wrote it and performed it. It is as janky as recording. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it was fun if you were there, but like, I spent way too many hours of my life watching that on YouTube.
It's like, hey, shout out to University of Michigan Theater Department. Your shit's broke as hell.
But hey, if I was there, I probably would have dug it.
Yeah.
But no, I assume it's going to be good. It was going to be in the theaters. And then there was a pandemic. So they said, hey, let's put it on Disney Plus.
Listen, that'll be a great way for me to actually see this musical, because the only other time I've ever seen it was right after I broke up with someone after 5 years. And then this really weird dude that had a crush on me invited me over and asked if I wanted to watch the bootleg of Hamilton. And let me tell you, a dark part of my life. Very dark. I did have to leave because it was just too depressing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the second act gets really dark.
I don't think that's what she meant.
The fact that the camera was hidden when the ushers would walk by.
I love that.
Really just really demented. Fun. Truly demented, truly dark moment.
There's no reason to, like, I get that you want, but like, there's no reason to watch a bootleg.
It's for the people, Mogi.
No, but like I'm quality. A people. It's not great.
Like, truly, it's a you had to be there. Musicals more than ever.
Though a cast album sometimes can help because you can just like kind of close your eyes and imagine.
Sure.
And to be fair, Hamilton, because there's very little dialogue in it, I feel like I pretty much know it.
Well, and like because a cast album, the sound quality.
Oh, yeah. They do it.
Someone's iPhone 4.
Yeah. No, it's true.
So wait,
sorry that this dark thing happened to you, Kelly.
When the camera would be hidden so that like when the usher came by, does that mean there would also be like the rustling on the microphone too?
Yeah, it was just facing down.
Amazing. I love it.
Then sometimes it was like they were trying to hide it like with their hand, so their hand would cover part of it. This also happened during the Carrie 2012 version. However, the Carrie 2012 version bootleg that I watched was very funny to me because the person filming it took like editorial choices and like sometimes zoomed in on people. Very funny.
Amazing.
But we're doing musicals.
Yeah.
Musical ships.
Does anyone have a musical ship they would like to share?
I have one.
Go.
Okay. So for my ship, I would like to take you back to the 1960s.
Cool.
Let me know when you're there.
I'm there.
Yep.
So my ship. What's that?
Are you, I'm in like 63. Like
I think like 60. I think maybe even like 61. Like Ed Sullivan kind of straight skinny suit kind of vibe.
Love okay. It.
Because my ships come from the movie That Thing You Do.
Aww.
Oh.
And I would like to see a world. I think this takes place after the movie. So like the band breaks up and Guy, you know, starts his career as a session musician. He's no longer with Playtown. But Mr. White, the talent manager from Playtown, I'd like him to find his way into the bar where Guy got really drunk in that scene and got hit on by Marguerite. Because I think that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson would have some real chemistry if we got those characters together.
Yeah, that's good because I always feel like in Sleepless in Seattle, they're totally being cock-blocked by her husband in that movie. I'm just like, come on. Rita's right there, Tom.
You don't have to worry about her. Meg just Ryan. Give her a chance. No, but I'm like, so.
No, I like that.
Like, he's in there. He's doing his cool thing.
Gay?
What's that?
Isn't that a thing?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't watched it in a couple of years, I never picked up on it.
Okay. Oh. Or it could be like a fic I read or something. I will admit. but in my head canon. But I'll make an exception for Marguerite. I like this. Is this like, do we feel, is this a part of the That Thing You Do story? Or is this a whole new, do they have like a whole new storyline?
No, so it's post, like the Oneaters are done. They're no longer, you know, part of his stable. So he's there having drinks with, say, like another client. Or he's like scouting some, you know, musician who's playing at the lounge that night. You know, doing whatever, having a few drinks. But I like to think that, you know, Marguerite, she's doing her thing, really good service, flirting with him. He's enjoying it, being coy and cool like he does. And then, as like a special treat, the house band is like, hey, and now we're going to bring everybody's favorite waitress up. And Marguerite like sings this beautiful, haunting ballad that just like strikes him to his bones. And he like, he just instantly falls in love with her. And he's like, I can record an album with this woman. I like have to be part of her life. I gotta like, you know, and that's the sequel. Him like trying to.
Is Marguerite a musician or is she just like a scenester?
She's a waitress. She's not even a scenester, but it's the hidden gem, you see.
Okay.
She gets up and she sings because it's just like a fun thing she does working at the club from time to time. And he's like, no, we're going to record a record. But Playtown's like, no way are we recording a record with like a 40-year-old.
Right?
Is it? Yep.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Playtown.
It's also his production company. That's, Tom Hanks' production company is Playtown. Production.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Which one came first?
I believe the movie.
Okay.
But Playtown's cool.
Any other notes?
No, it's just a piece of trivia. Would you rather me not say it? I don't know.
Here's the thing. It's better that we say it than, like, you know, the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I think Colin would have preferred us let the internet handle that one.
The internet can be mean, though.
We can be mean, too.
That's true. We have been mean.
That poor, poor Funko Pop man.
Aww. I hope he figures some things out.
Thoughts and prayers, man. I don't know.
You could spend $500 a month on like couples therapy too.
Yeah, there you go.
That's an option. But anyway, that's my musical ship.
Great.
That's cute. I like them together.
And it's bordering on a real person fic, so.
Mm-hmm. That's just a happy coincidence. I know you guys don't like it when I do those, so I found a workaround.
Yeah, I see that.
Does anyone else have one?
I do. So this is a movie musical that I don't think has ever been on stage in any way, but I think Song for Song maybe has the best batting average of any Disney movie musical.
What?
Now, I'm not counting scores because I know there's some great non-singing stuff in Disney, but these are like songs with lyrics. I think this certainly of its era, Song for Song, because it doesn't have that many songs. That's where it does well. And it's a movie called A Goofy Movie.
Oh my God.
Songs are hits. Every song, boom, boom, boom. Partially because it's all killer, no filler.
That's right.
and I think the two characters I mentioned maybe don't even have lines in the songs. they, in fact, only really, like, they each have their roles, but then they have, like, one moment of, like, potential romantic attraction, and I always really liked it. And that is Bobby and Stacy from A Goofy Movie. So Stacy is played by Jenna Von Oy, and is best friends with Roxanne, who is Max's love interest and is like the main girl, but her best friend is like student council president, is very nerdy, but is also essentially Six from Blossom because she's played by Jenna Von Oy, and wears big hats with flowers on them. And then there's also Bobby, who is played by Pauly Shore, who is essentially the Pauly Shore type, who is Max's, kind of Max's only real friend.
What about PJ?
PJ's not a real friend. That's what I'm saying.
Very clear PJ's, on that point.
Yes. PJ is a bad friend. And I know I'm bringing a lot of Goof Troop action into these feelings, but PJ, he is weak-willed. Like, here's the thing. PJ could grow up to be a man who is capable of being a good friend, but PJ the boy is a bad friend.
Oh, my God.
PJ sucks. He's like, he buys into his dad's bullshit. He doesn't treat Max very well. He is weak-willed and has no heart. Like, two thumbs down on PJ. Like, he really is not a good friend.
Oh, my God.
But Bobby is just like a good time boy. He helps Max do his amazing audiovisual presentation at the beginning of the movie. And at the end of the movie, he makes a Leaning Tower of Cheesa and it spills. And then he and Stacy have a moment as they lock eyes over the Leaning Tower of Cheesa. It's very cute. So that's my ship.
Love it. Dude,
I like that.
Thank you.
That's a good side character ship. I like that a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. I do too.
Kelly, do you have a musical ship?
Yes, I do. Okay. So this is a little bit after the events of The King and I.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Now, the king is dead from syphilis. He's gone. He's done. No more of him.
Is that how that play ends?
Well, he's dying of some disease, but like it's syphilis if you look historically.
Okay.
So he's gone. He done. Anna Leon Owens, is that her last name? How it's pronounced? I don't know. Anyway, okay. She gets a letter, a mysterious letter. It's from a mystery benefactor.
Mm. Oh.
Who's like, I know that you like to give people glow ups personality wise. So come to this mysterious house on this island in Scotland.
What? And
just come to this place. And it's very like the book Haunting of Hill House, where it's like, ooh, these people get these letters and they're like, oh my God, I have to like go. And like, it's going to be this new life for me. So, cause Anna has like finished up, you know, she's like taught those thousands of children. Yeah. She's, you know, white saviored that in the entire nation of Siam. So she's got to move on. She goes to this, she gets on a buggy, that gets on a boat, that gets to this, drops off to this island. And she looks around and it's like, oh, this is like a really beautiful place. It doesn't seem like anyone else is here. Now, at the same time that she gets her letter, someone else receives a nearly identical letter. Henry Higgins has just finished glowing up Eliza Doolittle.
Sure.
He receives a letter that's like, you probably are really bored now because you finished your project, Eliza. And like, you know, you're in love with her, but whatever. She's gone. She's doing her own thing. So why don't you come to this island? I have a new project for you. Oh, also Anna's letter says that too. It says, I have a new project for you. And both of the letters say, but you can't tell them. They're very strong-willed. So you can't tell them that you're trying to like glow them up. So
this is just so mysterious. I love it.
So you need to just work your magic, but they can't know that you're trying to make them better.
Interesting.
So he gets on a boat, that gets on a car, that gets to drops him off at this mysterious, beautiful mansion on an island in Scotland. And he doesn't see anyone else. He comes into his bedroom. Some butler actually shows up and is like, you need to go into your bedroom. And so he goes in his bedroom. He gets a little note that says, please report to dinner at when the clock strikes 6.
So it's got a bossy butler and a bossy butler. Written instructions.
Yeah, written instructions. A mysterious absent benefactor. Then he comes downstairs. And who is at the table but Anna? And he's like, oh, this must be my project. And when he sits down, she thinks to herself, this must be my project. And then throughout their stay there, they're trying to fix each other up. And then like at some point they realize like, oh, that they were trying to change me the whole time. And then they learn like how annoying it is to like be fixed by another person. And then they end up, I don't know, maybe they sleep together a couple times and then maybe they end up together. I don't know. They inherit the house because the whole goal was, if you can spend a month there without leaving, I didn't think this part through, then you can inherit the house. And the mysterious benefactor, they never find out who it is. And
it was Eliza.
It's Eliza. She's like, I want you to taste what you fucking put me through.
Yep. Oh, and she wants to live her life. And she can't while he's in town.
Because here's the thing. He's obsessed with her. He keeps showing up where where she is.
He's like, bring me my slippers.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
Go try to fix some other lady who doesn't need fixing.
And then when she tries to go to the horse races on her own, who's there? Oh my God, he's there. Leave her alone.
Yeah.
So did she always have this like mansion on an island in Scotland?
She inherited it. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right.
Or like got it out of one of her suitors.
Right.
It's a long-term lease.
Oh, that's what it is. 100-year lease.
As soon as he showed up, she started coming up with plays to get him out of the country. And she's like, okay, maybe I could just, I don't know, rent a castle in Scotland or something. Well, we're spitballing. No bad ideas at this point.
Yes, yes.
And then one of her friends is like, you could actually lease one of these things pretty cheap.
I love this for Henry Higgins because I do not love him as a romantic hero in My Fair Lady.
No.
So, but the idea of him having to like, because I think he is, humbled in some ways by his experience with Eliza, but not enough.
Not enough. And he still doesn't see her as an equal. He's just like, wow, that woman showed me. Whereas, like, he's never dealt with someone who's trying to do the stuff that he does. So, like, I don't know. I wanted him to get a little of his own. And also, he needs someone more age appropriate.
Totally.
Yeah, Anna's a great fit for him. Because they both have their weird savior complexes, mm-hmm. but they both need to, like, work on themselves.
Mm-hmm. My ship.
It would also just be fun to see them, like, discover, like, slowly figure out, like, wait a minute, are you coaching me?
Yeah.
Are you coaching me?
Yeah. And, like, every time, like, at first, like, when one of them tries to coach the other, because they're trying to coach each other, like, they don't see it. And, like, so he'll be like, it would be good if you held your spoon like this. And she's like, oh, good idea. And, like, is trying to be nice.
Yeah, I think this would be such a more interesting dynamic than either King and I or My Fair Lady.
It's just so funny. Yeah. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything with two fixers, right?
I mean, I think because it would usually end poorly.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which it should. And that's fun, too.
Yeah. At least they had the moment. The Mo.
Or I think they would team up, ultimately. They would turn that place into, like, a castle for wayward girls.
Or they just go to the button.
Exactly. They deflect each other's input to the point where the butler becomes the brunt of all of it.
Yeah, they both decide to fix the butler. I think maybe
And then when he hangs himself, he gets to haunt the castle for the rest of the time.
He haunts them. Wow. Oh, and then they try to fix the ghost. It just never
This is now an Andrew Lloyd Webber kind of
musical. Yeah.
Patrick, do you have a musical ship?
I do, but I need to rewrite the end of Little Shop of Horrors to make it work.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. It was due for one.
So I always liked Audrey. Even though, like, the show treats her terribly, right? Like, she's with this psychotic dentist who just wants to, like, cause harm, and then, like, he mysteriously disappears into the belly of a plant, and then she's like, well, I guess I'm in love with Seymour, and, like, her whole arc in that show is just about, like, settling for, like, the saddest, like, version of the American dream, right?
Oh my god, okay. She sings
Somewhere
That's Green before her boyfriend is killed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her dream has been the suburban fantasy
forever.
She doesn't.
Yeah. It's not like idealized suburban fantasy, though. Like, it's, you know, they're like watching TV and, like, falling asleep. And, like, I don't know, like, everything about Somewhere That's Green has that, like, tinge of, like, and this isn't even that good.
Well, yeah. But I mean, she's not alone in that. No. I will, like, fucking Rick Moranis, Seymour, his dreams are not that great either.
Right. No, and I agree.
They want a simple life full of comforts. I think that's really what they're after.
Yeah.
Or at least I feel like for Audrey, she wants to live the fantasy that literally she sees on television,
and the thing that they're being sold is shitty.
And it's to escape the even worse situation they're already in, living on Skid Row.
Yeah, Skid Row sucks, guys.
And she doesn't even get to that because the plant eats her and she dies.
Right. Well, yeah. Not depending on which version, the Rick Moranis version, she does not die.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. I am actually more familiar with the stage version, which ends.
But you're right. It's very sad.
She dies in that.
Everyone dies.
Yeah.
And I hate the plants.
And I think sort of when you're in the audience, you feel like, yeah, I'm about to get eaten by a plant too.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like apocalypse.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the way the stage show ends, it ends with there being Audrey 2's shipped off to, like, every country in, or every city in the world, and, like, the plants are coming for you, everyone's gonna die, and, like, the closing song is about, like, the various cities that are falling to the plants.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I mean, it's kind of about how, right, like, isn't it, like, just totally, like, now?
Yes.
Like, consumerism is, like, completely prioritized over the health of people, and like the poor are unfairly used as like the first line of defense, basically.
Yeah, man, we got to open up those restaurants.
Yeah.
Well, and in some ways, as much as like both Seymour and Audrey's dreams are like commercialized inherently, part of the downfall is that for both of them, or and Seymour doesn't know it, like Audrey is already dreaming of time with dreaming of Seymour before he becomes a famous plant man.
Yeah.
Yeah. She loves him before, so, like, but she's too scared.
She's scared and he's not bold enough to like declare whatever. So like, it's also, there's a tragedy there too, right? Like the things he thinks he needs to get what he wants, she thinks she needs like a nice Tupperware set and all of this like shit. But like, that's not what she needs. Like, the person that she could make a life with is there for her, but neither of them are ready to like accept that without consumerist bullshit. They get caught up in like stuff.
Because he's also that way too.
And they're
he waits till he's famous.
And they're both about to be blindsided by like a post-apocalyptic world that like isn't going to value any of the shit that they've been fantasizing about either.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So,
oh man.
Okay, so what are you cooking up for?
Fix it.
For
that?
Here's what I'm cooking up. So there's like a detective kind of like poking around trying to figure out what happened to the dentist, right?
This detective's name is Patrick Ellers.
No.
Oh my god. And like, he just sees something in Audrey that no one has ever seen. He sees her heart.
Yeah.
No.
It's underneath
no.
her huge boots, but he sees her heart.
I love this, and it is me. No, but Audrey ends up getting arrested. And this is where I'm rewriting. Okay.
Okay.
She gets arrested. There's a quick trial. She gets thrown in jail because people don't trust women when they're like, no, I don't know what happened to them. Right.
Right.
She gets kind of like shuttled around the prison system, and this is still like Seymour is still, you know, raising Audrey too, and we're coming closer and closer to the end of the goddamn world as plants destroy everyone. Right. Mm-hmm. And Audrey finds herself locked up at, Cook County Correctional Facility. And this is when the plants take over and everyone is dying from plants who are eating them whole, except for the people who are locked up at Cook County, including Roxy Hart and Velma Kelly from Chicago.
Whoa, oh my God.
And the three of them form a badass plant fighting team.
Hell yeah.
That's cool.
And they survive. They, you know, they build a new society out of Cook County Correctional, and you know, live long, happy lives together. And their lives look nothing like the American dream that she thought she wanted.
But the world would be green.
And the world would be
very green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my god, I love it, because and the Murderers Row is with them too, right?
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I love it.
Oh my god, and she would sing and all.
Yeah.
I really love that. And Patrick, if you haven't seen the movie recently, you should watch it again. It's very nothing but joy.
I mean, I watched it maybe like a year or so ago, but I've seen the stage show and listened to the like original cast recording so much that like that's just kind of replaced it for me, I guess.
You've got your version.
I got my version.
But the happy ending isn't. They go to essentially the set of her, of Somewhere That's Green, but a little Audrey 2 is growing in the front yard. So there's still like a wink at the end of.
Sure.
The movie.
Yeah. End of X-Files episode. Like, uh-oh. Yes.
But you get the two of them, I think, like, you know, vacuuming and mowing the lawn. And
like, they get their dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be short lived.
It will be short lived. And also, I just need to shout out, the cameo by why am I not able to think of his name? Bill Murray. Jesus. Of Bill Murray as the masochist, and his interactions with the dentist are so funny.
Yeah. There's so also Christopher Guest is in that movie too. His like one line read is insane.
It's so funny.
It's so good. I love
it. Is he the strange and interesting plant guy?
Yeah.
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 Really, really funny.
Colin, do we have any questions we can answer from Twitter?
Yes, in a way. So our old friend In a way, we do. Our old friend Dodger Sister retweeted us a like scenario. And she says, this Shipple Dips, this seems up your alley. IDKY, I mean, am I wrong? I don't think so. So I thought it would be fun. Let's see, is this up our alley? And maybe we can tell her why she thinks it is. So this comes from a Wild Thingy. Imagine falling in love with someone and then finding out they are your evil clone, except your evil clone thinks you're the evil clone. And so you murder them to shut them up, and you've just killed the person you love, and now you're worried you really are the evil clone. Imagine that.
I don't know if I follow.
Well, so
okay, you fall in love with someone, and then you find out that you yourself have an evil clone?
No.
Yes, and then you argue about which one of you is the evil one, and then you murder them.
Yeah, it's based on a premise that Ryan likes to reject, that you fall in love with a clone
with
of
yourself.
With
your own clone.
Yeah.
I guess that's what... I think... So I think they missed a step in this premise, because the first step in the premise is you fall in love with an identical copy of yourself.
They were trying to bury the lead so that you would like it.
And then you find out the copy is actually evil, which, I mean, I guess that's the thing, is like, what is an evil clone? Is it just a clone that makes different decisions? Are we all just, I mean,
yeah,
like, what is, are we all evil? Just evil clones
it's,
of each other? Like, what
it's
is
subjective? It's subjective, I mean, rather.
But I guess, how do you find out that they're the evil clone? Because you already fell in love with your clone.
Well, I mean, and then they pose the scenario, who's the evil one once you've done the murder? And then, like, that seems to me like, yeah, you're pushing your little evil meter to the left a little bit.
Yeah, I guess, yes, I think that's always true, right? That's like the sad moment in the denouement of every evil clone movie. When you've killed the evil clone, you're right. Who is really evil?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like anytime you have to fight your enemy, you're going to be doing things that make you no longer can be, you know, righteously pure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what then at that point, do you just like accept your role as evil clone and then like go about trying to
like start wearing a mustache?
Goatee.
Darkest timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is this up our alley? Sort of.
For sure, the scenario where you're fucking an identical copy of yourself, that's well-worn territory for us. Like, I feel like we got that down to a science. The answer is always yes.
Well, and I think it's also kind of our jam, at least the sadder of us. I think maybe Ryan wouldn't like this, but like, you know, the whole thing of like, oh my God, like I need to kill this person because they're evil. Oh no, by killing them, was I evil the whole time?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, just it is sad.
I think it's definitely up our alley. I guess I'm back to, how do you know they're an evil clone? Because if you've already fallen in love with the clone of yourself, wouldn't you just try to win them back to the from the dark side?
Maybe
because you think they're the evil version. Like,
yeah, they're maybe,
actually,
okay. Evil people.
Actually,
you
let me
don't
reread
murder.
This passage, because on second look, you are for sure the evil one. All right, this is,
hold on, what?
I just read it again. I want to reread this part of the passage because it's it makes you look very evil. Except your evil clone thinks you're the evil clone. And so you murder them to shut them up.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, you're evil.
Yeah, you're evil.
Yeah, you're the evil clone. You're evil. Okay, so what is it when you discover that you are the evil clone?
Then you
do
evil
like
shit.
Like you said, you just commit to it. Yeah. It's who you are.
Evil.
Be true to yourself.
And even if you're sad.
Go dine at a restaurant without a mask on.
Yeah. Go yell at someone's
Funko
face
Pops.
In a Trader Joe's.
Yep.
Oh my God, in your Bebe shirt.
Hey guys.
Two relationships.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.